I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Celebrate the end of your workday with the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as another busy Thursday flies by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Welcome to Katie's Crib, a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio.
Storytelling is an important way of explaining things to kids and having them be able to put themselves in someone else's shoes, like a story about a dog dying, etc., and the feelings that character had. But there was a whole segment missing of this is what it is. This is how it affects your life. This is what it means to have cancer. And then later, some of these other books where their mommy has breast cancer. All the books were about breast cancer, was the other thing that really frustrated me.
Oh.
Because for the love of all things good and holy, people.
Come on, people. Good Lord.
I'm like, why must we make this breast cancer specific or mommy specific? So all of my books apply to any type of cancer. My divorce books, there's a version for two moms and a version for two dads. I want it so that people of all kinds can see themselves.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Katie's Crib.
I was just speaking with our guest today about when things are really hard and you're parenting, and I have friends who've been through this. I'm talking the real hard stuff, like divorce, cancer, school shootings. There's some real stuff that happens in parenting on a personal level, like if your mom gets diagnosed with a disease. If the parents are going through marital things and are separating, all of that stuff, how do you deal? So Mighty and Bright, we have the founder here, Sarah Olscher. She is a writer, an illustrator, a speaker, and like I said, the founder of this incredible resource called Mighty and Bright, which is a company that creates unique book and calendar sets to bring clarity to kids about confusing and hard situations. Sarah has worked hard to be comfortable with the profoundly uncomfortable, and her work has been featured in such platforms as Pop Sugar, Reader's Digest, The Mighty, and Good Housekeeping. She has spoken in front of audiences large and small about her own experiences of making major life changes after divorce and cancer. And Sarah believes that everyone has the resilience to overcome hardship and use those lessons to make this world a better place. Brava, Sarah. Thank you so much for coming on Katie's Crib. I'm so grateful for what you're doing. Can you start us at the beginning? How did you start it and what gave you the idea for Mighty and Bright?
It started out of necessity. My daughter was 2 when I went through a pretty brutal divorce, and she was having really bad anxiety, and I had no idea what to do. I think everybody kind of has their like go-to thing that they do when something's hard. Like you Google things, which you probably shouldn't. You right. Find books. For me, I was like, I'm going to go to a therapist. And my ex-husband was like, what could a therapist do to help a two-year-old? And I was like, I don't know, but she is afraid of literally everything. And so we're going to find out. And so I found this really great therapist who opened my eyes to the way you can communicate with small kids. And basically that they understand a lot more than we give them credit for. Mm-hmm. And so most of us are just thinking, oh, it's a little baby or it's a toddler. They're not going to understand this. So we don't explain things. Mm-hmm. So that was the main skill that I got from her. But the thing that really changed everything for me was when she went on vacation and she pulled out this like construction paper calendar that she had made. And she was showing how usually we see her on this day, but we're not going to see her on that day. And instead, we're going to see her on this day. And I was like, why am I not using this to show my daughter when she's going to see her dad next? Because wow. That was all she kept.
Ding, ding, ding.
Exactly. What? And so I had run an illustration business for 6 years, and I had these illustrations of our family. And so I just split them apart and made them into these little magnets and created the jankiest calendar on the planet using like electrical tape.
Honey, that is not what they look like now. My
no.
goodness. When you all listeners go to Mighty and Bright and you can see all the calendars offered and all, it's beautiful. They are incredible.
Thank you.
For personal, for gifts, for everything. They're amazing. How did you start to unpack what exactly children need in these challenging times? Was it from this therapist?
I actually have a background in psychology myself, which is probably...
Oh my gosh, you are... oh my goodness, you are the perfect... Mash
yeah, it's
up.
Weird. I don't know quite how like life took me in these turns that kind of all came together into creating this thing that really needed to be there. But yeah, so I've always really understood things like on a soul level, like how what people need. But there's so much research about specifically what kids need to cope and what they need for creating a foundation of positive mental health. Like all that research is there. And so I just dove headfirst into it and thought, like, how is it that we know all of these things, but there's nothing out there that helps parents like actually implement it? Because as a parent, like we have 100 billion things that are going around in our heads all the time, and it gets really overwhelming. And you were talking about school shootings. All these things are really scary. And the more statistics we hear, the more frozen we feel. And so what I really wanted to do was basically create a roadmap that made it easy for parents to understand what you start with, what comes next, and really be able to help their kids cope through this stuff. Because the truth is, no matter how much we want to protect our kids from every bad thing that's ever going to happen, life is hard and it is going to throw stuff at them.
I had sort of a white picket fence, I guess you could say, childhood where I just really didn't experience trauma out of an ordinary child's life. And when I was 18, I was a freshman at NYU during World Trade Center, during 9/11, and I lived two blocks away and saw it all happen. And I remember my dad, after he realized that I was safe and we were together, he was hysterical crying because he was like, I made it this far and had protected you from seeing anything bad. And now look, 18 years is an incredible feat to go. But I'm saying it's life is hard and your children will experience hard things no matter what. And exactly like you say, it's going to be the challenge of being a parent is figuring out how you give your children these skills to cope and to move through these things. Like for yourself, you went through, can you tell me about your divorce? Let's start there and how you told your daughter and explained to her what divorce was.
That was kind of the beginning part of my realizing there were no resources out there.
Ugh, God, I can't even imagine. Yes, yes, tell.
You know, she's 12 now, so this was 10 years ago. I created the first co-parenting calendar. There was nothing out there. And it was infuriating to me.
Explain to me what a co-parenting calendar, explain to her, I know what it is, but explain to our listeners what a co-parenting calendar is.
Okay, so I think the traditional thought of a co-parenting calendar are these apps that people use with their co-parent to figure out who's going to see the kids on what day. But the thing that is really missing is giving the kids their own co-parenting calendar. So their own visual schedule where they have little pictures that show when they're going to see each parent. And the kid needs to have ownership over it. It needs to belong to them. It can't be part of this like big command center that a lot of families have, because having the kid have ownership over it makes them feel a sense of control that I just can't even explain how powerful it is. So that is what I used to explain to her what divorce was. Once I created this thing, my mistake was she was a year and a half when we separated, and I didn't think I needed to explain it to her. I didn't study child development. Had I known how fascinating children were, that would have 100% been where I focused every bit of my studies, because they're fascinating. But I didn't understand just how much she understood.
So at one and a half, you didn't say to her, like, what, mommy and daddy we're not living together anymore, and we both love you, and you will spend time with me. Tell her the facts.
Exactly.
Is that sort of the deal?
What I would do now, knowing that I know what I know now, would be to say, we have one house now, mommy, daddy, baby, all live in the same house, but now daddy is going to have a house. Mommy is going to have a house, so you can see mommy and daddy at their own house.
Great. And here's the calendar.
Right.
Where here's your little picture that we put. These are the days you spend at daddy's house, and these are the days you do stay at mommy's house.
The other thing that I think a lot of parents think is, well, my kid doesn't have any concept of time at that age. So how do you show them a weekly calendar and have them understand it? And so I created these little stickers that you can put on the calendar so that they understand each day break basically is a sleep. So you can say it's two sleeps until daddy's house. It's two sleeps until this play date. So kids of all ages can really benefit from it.
Oh, that's so great. Can you tell me about, and our listeners, about your cancer story and how you told your daughter what cancer was, how it was impacting you and your daughter's mental health at the time?
Yeah. So she was six. I was 34. And I have a big family history of breast cancer and was in an early detection program I really had to fight for. And it was my first breast MRI that was supposed to be a baseline. This is where we're at. So if there's any weird changes, we'll know. And it caught my cancer. I had 4 inches of cancer in my left breast. And I got the diagnosis while I was alone on a radiology table. And the first thing I thought was, as parents, we go to some pretty dark places, but when you're told you have cancer, all I could see was my daughter's like tearful face at my funeral. I was just devastated because at the time her dad and I were not getting along. She didn't want to spend time with him. And I was like, what am I going to do? And so what I really recommend to people who get a diagnosis like that is don't talk to your kids until you know a little bit more, so that you can actually give them some facts about what this means. Mm-hmm. But also don't wait that long, because kids understand that something is going on, and it's like they can sense the energy in the room, and they will make up stories about what it is that's going on. And usually they will come up with a story in which it is all their fault, that you're mad at them or something's wrong. Luckily, with all of the research that I had done about divorce, I already knew a lot of this stuff.
You knew that you had to talk to her about it, not pretend in front of her that it wasn't happening.
Exactly.
Know the facts to explain things in like a simple, developmentally appropriate way. Tell me about doing that. Like when you told her.
What my go-to was getting on Amazon and buying a book to explain what cancer was. And so I ordered probably 6 books and I did not like any of them. None of them explained what cancer was. And I thought, this is like, again, kids understand more than we give them credit for. We don't need these weird analogies about like storms in your brain or like, you know, it complicates, confuses, and scares them. So I didn't use any of the books. And I basically just explained to her really simply, our bodies are made up of cells. They're like little teeny tiny building blocks. It's like building with Legos. But the cool thing about them is that they can make new ones anytime they want to. And so you just build forever and never stop. And it's really cool. But sometimes a broken cell is made. And that broken cell doesn't know what its job is. And the only thing it knows how to do is make more and more copies of its own broken self. And if there's enough of those broken cells together, they make it hard for the body to do its job, for the cells that are doing their jobs to work right.
Really clear.
Yeah. So that's what I said to her. And I said, so what happened was we found some of these broken guys like in my breast. And so we're going to have to take them out. And I didn't need to go much further than that because at the time I thought that I had a very early stage cancer. I thought all I was going to need was surgery. I was going to have both my breasts removed and reconstructed, which was a whole thing in and of itself. So all I thought I needed to say was they only found like a couple guys. So we're just going to cut them out and it's going to be done.
And mommy's going to be okay. Right.
Yep.
Are you allowed to say things like that? Mommy's going to be okay, don't worry, or you really stay away from things like that?
It depends on the situation. In my case, I felt pretty comfortable saying that. But if something changes, like in my case it did, when I woke up from my double mastectomy, it turned out it was in my lymph nodes, and so I had to have chemo. All I said to my daughter was, they told me that I only had one little guy, and it turns out that one little guy made some friends, and they were going to go move to another part of my body, and so to make sure that all of them are dead, we're going to get some special medicine called chemo. And then I explained to her, so what that means is I am going to go into the doctor's office every 3 weeks, and they're going to give me this really big medicine, and the medicine is going to make sure that all of those guys die. The problem is some of the healthy cells are also going to die, and that means that my hair is probably going to fall out. But I don't want you to worry about my hair falling out because it's going to grow back. And when all the medicine is done, and so the good cells will come back and the bad cells are dead. That was that.
Did she have a very anxious response? I know that you were dealing, I think you said, and correct me if I'm wrong, that she was struggling with some anxiety around the divorce stuff.
Yeah, she had just generalized anxiety her whole life. And so that was part of why I was so worried about explaining this to her. But when I first told her about the cancer, she came out of her bedroom where I was telling her, and she was like, "Mommy told me." And my mom was like, "What did she tell you?" And she's like, "She has something. I don't remember what it was called, but it's little and it's going to be okay." So initially it was fine.
I think things like this are so important when you commit to a confident, like I think Katie's Crib has done this for me, and I hope that it's done this for our listeners. And it's something that you're talking about again, which is, I know that it's important to tell my kids hard things and good things and all in between. And it's important to communicate with them in a developmentally, you know, appropriate way. But I feel like the confidence in that I know, even if it's hard to tell them, that I am doing the best choice that I can as a mother by telling them and not keeping it from them already, I feel like, puts us leagues ahead than our parents' generation and their generation before them.
My aunt died from breast cancer at 42. She did not tell her children. They are still very upset about that. It has affected our family in a way that I just thought, never, ever would I ever do that to my children. And it also traumatized me because I'm like, my cousins all had to get married, have their babies without their mom there.
And
the likelihood is high that I had the same type of cancer that killed her.
Right.
But that's the difference between 2017 and 1982.
That's right. That's right. Wait, hold on one second. I just have someone at my door. Hold on. It's my child, and I'm going to tell him to go away. Hold on. Uno momento.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Oh my God, children. Okay. So, how does the vocabulary change when you're communicating with your child after you told her you have cancer, and now you tell her that? I just want to go back because I think that vocabulary is important. When you realized that it was going to not be such an easier fix that you thought it was going to be. Like, did you say, I have to let you know that the information has changed? What did you say to her?
I said, in the time that it took for me to have the surgery and the first time that they saw the picture, the little guys had moved and they made more. And it turned out they were doing that quickly. And so now they're gone. They got all of them out, but they want to make sure that, because they're so tiny, they want to make sure any of them are gone forever. As time goes on and science changes and learns more things, the way that they're looking at cancer is different now. Even if you have stage 4 cancer, which is cancer that has spread and it will be the thing that kills you at some point, barring getting hit by a truck or something, that has been a death sentence in years past.
Sure.
And now they are looking at that more of living with a chronic illness. People have lived for 20 years with stage 4. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't always mean that's it for you. The way that I explain this, because what I did from all of this explaining was I wrote my first children's book about cancer.
Congratulations. That's amazing. And on behalf of myself and our listeners, thank you for doing that.
Thank you. But at the end, the way that I explain metastatic disease is that some people will live with cancer for the rest of their lives, and they will keep going to the doctor, and they will have different types of medicines, and they will always let you know what is going on. You can trust your grown-up to tell you when something is going on. So we have to be honest with ourselves and our kids that sometimes things change. And that is a difficult thing for most humans to deal with. Most of us don't like change of any kind, but right. Especially when somebody has told you something is true and then it turns out to not be true, and that's just rude.
Totally.
We just have to be honest with our kids and say, this is what we thought, and unfortunately, it turned out to be something different, or things have changed.
How was your daughter's mental health at the time and getting through? I know we were touching on her anxiety, but was she in therapy at the time? What tools? I know you said you got books that were crap, so you wrote your own. What tools did you use to get her through your cancer treatments?
I was really worried about her. She was acting relatively normal. And I just thought there must be some kind of like thing that she's processing inside that's going to come out later and be just like really awful. But she handled it a lot better than I ever expected. And I think part of that was because I knew all of these things about what helps prevent traumatic things from being traumatic, and that is talking about it, showing your kids what to expect. I created a whole calendar to show her what to expect out of my treatment. This is a day that I'm going to have chemo. This is how I'm probably going to be feeling tired for a few days. That helped a lot. The other thing that really helped, which I never thought I would be grateful to be divorced, but her dad remarried pretty quickly after we divorced, and they had a baby. And the baby was born like before I was diagnosed. And so he was a really great distraction for my daughter.
Oh,
because
great.
She was like, I have a brother.
That's and a gift. So that was a real
was a total yeah. gift. And it completely changed our co-parenting relationship, my having cancer. I just didn't have the energy to deal with dramatics.
Interesting.
And it made me realize so much of these relationships that are just like difficult, or you're like butting heads, is just letting go and just saying, you know what? You do you. I don't have the energy to deal with you and your like ways that you do things that's different than me. I just can't.
So mommy's not going to feel her best self, and she might be very tired. Did she ever see you very sick? Did she see you lose your hair? Were those conversations that were had?
Yes. So I actually involved her in the process. I had long, red, curly hair that was like my
pride. So beautiful.
And joy.
It's so beautiful now.
Thank you. Yeah, I loved it. And so I knew it was going to fall out, and I'd never had a short haircut. So we went to a salon. My girlfriends were the absolute best. They got me an appointment to have my hair cut short and sassy. And my daughter and my mom came too, and each of them got a pink stripe in their hair. And then when it started to fall out, I let my daughter cut my hair. And so I will tell you, I took a video of a time lapse of the whole thing.
Wow.
And there were times where I thought for sure I should not have given the 6-year-old
the scissors.
I was like, she's going to kill me.
But hey,
it was definitely a memory I will never forget. And it helped her, I think, feel like she was participating in something. We were laughing about it. I think involving her as much as possible was good. It's different based on different ages. So early elementary school, younger kids, they usually want to talk about it. And adolescents, depending on the kids, some of them don't. And that's okay too. So I think it's just a matter of the ways that you make this easier for kids is by understanding that they need to feel like they can come to you with literally anything and you're not going to get mad at them. They can ask you any question.
Right.
And that's why bringing in books, bringing in the calendar, they're physical reminders to the kid that if they have any questions, you are open to answering them. It's when things are quiet. It's when the book is closed. It's when you make it so they can't feel safe.
Or that you're not honest, too. Like, they right. know. They mm-hmm. know when something's up, guys. They mm-hmm. know. They know.
Yes.
My son this morning, I'm on so little sleep because we were at a premiere last night and I was cranky. And he's like, what's going on, Mom? You're so frustrated. You know what I mean? Even though I'm not saying, like, mm-hmm. Mommy has on too little sleep. So approaching your books, how are they different than the stuff that you were not getting what you needed?
So now I have 9 books, believe
Yay!
It or not.
Yay! Congrats, Sarah. That's
thank
awesome.
You. Yeah, so the main difference in the books, I have a series called What About Me books. The point of them is to take hard conversations, explain them to kids as far as what it is that's actually going on, but then also explain how it affects the kid's life. Because kids, from a developmental point of view, the whole world revolves around them. And they want to know what it means. Okay, mommy is sick. Does that mean I'm going to be left alone? What does that mean to me? And so all of the books are like, this is what's happening. Now, what about the kid? And there's a calendar, like a drawing of a calendar in each one of the books. And it says, this is how your day-to-day is going to be affected by this hard thing. And that is what makes them different.
Wow, that's so great. It's how it's related to the kid and the kid's life, because yes. we don't take that into consideration. That's
right.
really smart.
Storytelling is an important way of explaining things to kids and having them be able to put themselves in someone else's shoes, like a story about a dog dying, etc., and the feelings that character had. But there was a whole segment missing of this is what it is. This is how it affects your life. This is what it means to have cancer. And then later, some of these other books where kids are, their mommy has breast cancer. All the books were about breast cancer was the other thing that really frustrated me.
Oh.
Because for the love of all things good and holy, people.
Come on, people. Good Lord.
I'm like, why must we make this breast cancer specific or mommy specific? So all of my books apply to any type of cancer. My divorce books, there's a version for 2 moms and a version for 2 dads. I want it so that people of all kinds can see themselves.
Feel represented, and they see themselves in the book, and it's their
right.
pathway into these hard, difficult conversations
exactly.
with their children.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global.
When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
After the separation, your husband, the divorce is final, you moved out in separate houses. How did she deal with that? And then let's talk about how did she deal once you were through the chemotherapy rounds?
Yeah, I think it becomes your new normal. And it's a matter of making that new normal as possible. That's all life is, change after change after change. So it just became a new normal where that is what we talk about. That is how things are. There, with regards to the divorce, I think it's grieving. And I think if I listened to your episode with Teresa Caputo, and she was talking.
Oh my goodness, she's so my amazing. Girl.
I love her.
Yes, yeah,
but one
amazing.
Of the things that she was talking about is these everyday losses. That is a big part of what I do, is trying to explain to parents that anytime there's a change, it's grief for kids. Grief is when anything is taken away from you without your consent. And for kids, so much happens to them and feels out of their control. If we have empathy for our kids and think, if someone had died, is this how we would be treating our kids? Would we be frustrated at them for talking about their other parent who has died? Would we want them to just get over it? No. We would want them to feel supported. We would want them to know that no matter what, they are loved. We would want them to know that if they are upset, they can get a hug. The problem is balancing that with our own mental health, because when kids are going through something difficult, the whole family is going through something difficult. And parents are on a good day at capacity. And so how do we balance these two things,
so
right?
True.
And the answer for my family is freaking screen time. And if I hear one more effing person tell me screen time is terrible, screw you.
I
need this because I'm going through a freaking divorce and I need to go into my bedroom and just breathe for a freaking minute.
I get it. I think the pandemic, I'm hoping, changed things in that when we all sort of hit this, like, this stop and we were like, oh my God, if we have to put on the television, and yet still, you're not wrong. I still feel bad about it. It's so stupid.
I was talking to a therapist who deals specifically with postpartum moms, and she's like, show me the study that says screen time is worse for kids than a parent with poor mental health.
Oh, it's not. And also,
mic drop. Emily,
and mic drop. Leave it right there. Yeah. Emily Oster, who has been on this podcast and only deals with things in terms of statistics and facts, it's not true about screen time at all. But you still feel bad about it because mom guilt is a real thing. What I'm getting, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm getting from both your divorce experience and your cancer experience is that your daughter did okay.
Yes. She does grieve still over our family situation mostly. And I think putting her in situations where she wasn't the only one is really helpful. Knowing other kids of divorce, so she's not the only one. Knowing other kids who have a parent with cancer, so that she isn't the only one and she feels that sense of community, is really important. And then I also think all the research that I did about mental health, when we hit the pandemic was when I started to realize just how little resources there were out there for kids. And it has always been difficult to find a child therapist. But I also think parents don't feel capable to handle a lot of things on their own. And so I think they don't really realize like how much they can actually help. I think we think a therapist has a degree, and so they're going to be able to do things that we can't. And in some cases, that is true. We don't have the skills. So if there's like a crisis situation, obviously getting a professional to help is really important. But like to know that your parent-child relationship, like you need to work on this stuff, these skills, in addition to therapy or while you're on the waiting list. It is up to parents to teach these skills to their kids, because a pandemic is a very hard thing.
It's another tough thing to put on that list of like tough things that we need to talk about with our children. Why are books such a great way in?
Kids learn by repetition, and they learn from visual images. And the great thing about a book is it's there. And it doesn't change every time you read it. It's the same. We might explain a topic and say it slightly differently each time. And that can be confusing to kids.
Sure.
Having that initial conversation is really good. And then having the book to back it up so that you can constantly read it. How many of us have a kid who chose like a favorite book and then we were just like so done with it? There's a book from my daughter's childhood. She was like 3. She could recite the whole freaking thing.
Sure. Of course. Of course. That's how much you read it. Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely. It's absolutely. I think it's such a great way in too, because if you are a person that comes from a family where hard things were not discussed, you feel out of practice and that you literally don't have the vocabulary. You don't even know how or what to say. And so by using the book, like we've done tons of topics in this podcast on race or sex or things like that. And I come from a family that never talked about race. And it was important to me to find the right books so I could arm myself with the correct vocabulary to talk about race to my kids, because I didn't know. And similarly, like I wouldn't know the words to say if I got a cancer diagnosis or my husband and I were facing divorce. Like, and to go back to this, I know we touched on it a little bit. So your books are different than the crap that was out there.
Also, the illustrations were freaking terrifying. There was one that was talking about going to the hospital. I swear to you, the doctor looked like possessed and was out a freaking knife.
Okay, so your books, like the because you have an illustrative background, yeah. You were very particular on what the pictures look like.
Yeah.
And then it always goes back to how it affects the kid, because they are the center of their world at this time in their life. That we know is true. So now let's get into the calendars you sell. I love this idea. I think it's so smart. My son is he feels ill at not at ease if he doesn't know who's picking him up, who's dropping him off, those sorts of things. And when I was doing research on you, I was like, oh my God. Why have I never put up a calendar of the week with little? So I bought one. How did the calendar idea come up again?
It was the therapist telling my daughter she was going on vacation. And so then I just started doing research. Initially, I had created one that showed 2 weeks at a time. And then I am like really anal about making my house pretty. And so I didn't want one of these like really ugly ass calendars.
They're
like,
so fucking ugly.
Oh my God. I hate primary colors. No. And so I was trying to make it cuter and cuter as it had different iterations, and realized when I started creating one for children with cancer that the doctors and the child life specialists, those are the people that work with the children in hospitals, they only want to show the kids 1 week at a time because depending on the situation,
interesting,
it can be really overwhelming for a kid
see
multiple weeks.
I get that.
The added benefit of it was it created a perpetual calendar. So you could buy like 2-3 weeks at a time. And when you get to the bottom, you erase that one and move it to the top. So it's always up to date.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, yeah. So there were a bunch of reasons why I made it 1 week at a time. And they're useful for kids of all ages. My daughter is 12, has been using this since she was 2.
Wow, Sarah, that's
so
awesome.
Yeah, I really wanted to make sure that it was sturdy. We know kids.
Yeah, durable.
Yeah.
How can we use your products to help, like I had just touched on, but with other hard topics like school shootings we talked about, Black Lives Matter, death,
yes,
even smaller things? I mean, obviously, school shootings, Black Lives Matter, these are big things, but it was huge in my house when we had to put my dog down. Like, that was my 4-year-old's first experience with death and brought up a lot of death questions. And so how do your products work with other hard topics?
Basically, structure is the first, like visual structure is the first thing that you need in order to help kids cope. Every difficult thing that happens, the recommendation is always stick to a routine as much as you possibly can. And that's because it creates a container that helps children feel safe when things are crazy. And it's like when, take divorce, for example, like you're going from one house to the next, but every day begins and ends with sleep. Things are changing, but some things are the same. And the more that you can show kids what their routine is going to look like, the more that you can predict and show them their lives, the less anxiety they're going to feel. So even if it has nothing to do with our political climate or death or whatever the hard thing is, just showing them what to expect out of their day to day is going to help them cope and make them feel safer.
Love it. What are 3 things needed for kids to get through challenging times?
One thing that when I heard the statistic, it made my heart sing. They need 1 loving adult. 1. So if you are going through a terrible divorce and your ex is a crazy person, know that your kids need 1 loving, stable adult. So if you can be that person for your kid, that's what they need. Yep. So 1 loving adult who values a parent-child relationship. They need structure, routines. They need to know what to expect out of their lives. And they need to know that they can come to you with anything.
That's it. I feel like if we all just did that, the world would be a better place. Am I too kumbaya right now?
I do think so. And I think there are steps beyond that. During the pandemic, I started creating a roadmap, essentially like in a subscription form, where like you're learning the skills that science has shown helps create a positive foundation for mental health. And those things are things that you would expect, coping skills, like learning to identify your emotions, being able to talk about your emotions. It is bigger than just that, but that is the very basis, and it is 100% doable.
You got this. You
yes.
hear it here first from Sarah Alscher of Marion Bright and from Katie Lowe's of Katie's Crib. How is parenting going overall for you in our wrapping up?
Oh, my goodness. It is. My kid is so magical. It is so hard. And also, I like her more every day. She's super cool. She's way cooler than I ever was.
Aww.
And she wants to hang out with me. And she's got a good head on her shoulders.
That's thanks to her mother. Sure.
I also think we kind of beat ourselves up, especially for things that we control, like a divorce, for example. But even cancer, a lot of people with cancer just feel so guilty. And it's like, yes, it sucks to be a child and have your parent go through something hard. But It's also really beneficial to have it while your parent is there to hold your hand. I was there to hold her hand, help her learn how to cope with difficult things, help her understand that you don't need to feel sorry for yourself. Yes, this sucks, but that's life. And now she can cope with other things more easily because she's had these experiences.
Do you have any other advice for parents who are going through hard things? For example, a parent, let's say, who thinks they should stay together for their kids.
First off, research can be skewed. There was a whole article I read about how Americans ended up thinking that divorce was like the worst thing ever. And it's not. And the vast majority of kids, they turn out just fine. And it has everything to do with how stable the parent is.
The one loving parent that they need.
Yes. But I would say if I have one piece of advice, if you are going through something difficult, it is ask for help. I, as a single parent, did every single thing myself all the time. And when you are diagnosed with cancer, that is no longer an option. And it was so hard and also the greatest gift to both me and my daughter, because it made me realize just how many good people there are in the world, and to focus on those people, focus on the people that are doing good rather than focusing on the people that didn't show up. Just focus on the people that are helping, ask for help, allow help. And it's good for your kids too,
because community.
They see that beyond just you, yes, you have a community. There are other adults you can trust, and that's good for everybody.
One more time, because it's so important. For parents who feel they should not tell the children because of how scary or tough or hard the topics may be.
So 2 weeks ago, I lost one of my friends to cancer. She did not tell her daughter. And it was something I had been begging her to do for 2-3 years. You want to be the one to, whatever's going to happen is going to happen. And you want your kids to have the skills to be able to deal with it while you're there to hold their hand. And as terrifying as it is to have these conversations, it builds trust, it builds connection, and it builds strength. There are people who can help you have these conversations. There are so many people. You can reach out to me if you don't know how to have a conversation. I'm putting
You're
it out there.
So
chronic illness,
kind.
Whatever it is. Seriously, I will help you have this conversation with your kids. But there's also hospice workers, grief counselors, child therapists, all kinds of people who will help you. You don't have to do it by yourself. But the amount of confusion that a child feels when they are not told the truth is not okay. And you also just really need to understand that your kids know something's going on anyway. And all you're doing by avoiding the conversation is sending them the message that it's not okay to talk about and they need to deal with it themselves. That you can't handle it and they want to protect you. You need to show them that you are strong enough for both of you. This is not something a child should be dealing with themselves. And you don't want them blaming themselves.
Yeah, that's the other thing. That's
because the number of kids who... I was so afraid somebody was going to say something to my kid. I was like, do I use the word cancer? Yes, you use the word cancer. Because if you don't, then somebody's going to say it. And that word has power and means a whole bunch of different things. You want to be the one to control the narrative here. My daughter's second grade teacher said to her, there was some kid that had stage 4 brain cancer and was dying, and his dying wish was to get letters from kids in elementary school. And so her class was writing all these letters, and the teacher says to my daughter, how do you feel? Are you okay? Because I know this kid has the same thing your mom has.
Wow.
But my daughter knew it wasn't the same thing. She was in second grade and she was able to come home and say, My mom does not have what that kid has because I had said to her, cancer means a lot of different things. You want to be the one in control of the narrative. So that is why you need to tell your kids.
I think that is brilliant and so true. And again, goes back to communication. It's everything. It's 101-minute conversations, not one 100-minute conversation. Anything else you think parents should know about divorce and cancer that they don't realize?
Everybody's going to be okay. It feels like the worst thing in the world, but everybody's going to be okay. I had a girlfriend who went through it like 8 years before me. I remember her saying, I know you think that he is the worst, but he's going to get better. I was like, nope, not possible. Not possible. I'm not saying everybody ends up this way, but we have a truly modern family now. And I never would have thought it was going to be okay. It's going to be okay. Everybody's going to be okay.
So inspiring.
Even if you aren't sharing dinners, you're still going to be okay because you're in charge of that.
Finish this sentence. I ask every guest on our podcast this. Parenthood is
hard and wonderful.
Sarah, I'm so grateful that you came on the podcast. Where can people find the books and the calendars? Tell us your website and stuff.
Mightyandbright.com. My books are also all on Amazon if you search for my name, which is Sarah Olshar. And you can find me on Instagram at Mighty and Bright Co.
Everybody go, please. If you're going through hard things, if your friends who are parents are going through hard things, this is an incredible resource that exists to help us parent, because we will all parent through difficult, hard things at various times in our parenting experience. And I'm so glad, Sarah, you are doing the work to help us all. Thank you so much for coming on Katie's Crib.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for listening to today's episode. I want to hear from you. Let's chat. Questions, comments, concerns? Let me know. You can always find me at katiescrib@shondaland.com.
Katie's Crib is a production of Shondaland Audio in partnership with iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from Shondaland Audio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. And right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.